Cool. Okay, so yeah, I've been part of this church family now for just over 10 years, and I just want to say I love my church. I love this place, and I love our potential as the body of Christ, so I just pray that I serve you well today. All right, so for the little time that we have left this morning, I actually want us to look at the beginning, as in the beginning, the fallout. The seduction, the succumbing to deception, the consequence of that. And I actually want to give focus to the life of Eve, because I think there's more to her than what we know her for. I think there's more than the mistake. So, before we get into the word, why don't we pray real quick? Father, I just pray that you help us to lean in, into your word, into your truth, into your promise for our lives. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so well, grab your Bibles and your notebooks, and we're going to be looking at Genesis 3. But here's a real quick recap of the story so far. So far, God has made the heavens and the earth, and he's added day and night, and the sky and waters and land, and he's added trees and fruit, and we have sea creatures and birds and animals, and he's made man, and all is well. We move on a little further on in the story, and we find that God's planted a garden in the east, and he's called it Eden, and he's given man authority over the garden to work the land and to take care of it, but to also enjoy its fruits. And then we learn that God has told man, Adam, that he can eat fruit from any of the trees in the garden, but there's one tree that he cannot eat from. And this particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, will, if he eats from it, there's going to be serious consequences and death will enter the equation. So, you know, that's cool. Adam's cool. You know, he just carries on going about his business, deciding on names of the animals and the birds. And somewhere down the line, God decides to create a helper for Adam. And so woman is brought into the mix, and God presents a woman to Adam. We know that Adam and his wife Eve were both naked, and they felt no shame. Everybody say, no shame. Amen. Little side note, it's interesting how, you know, the language used to describe Adam and Eve's current emotional and mental state is that they felt no shame. You know, in other words, there's no confusion, no guilt, no remorse, no humiliation. Anyway, so all is well with married life, and God blesses Adam and his wife, and, you know, they have each other, and then they have this amazing relationship with their creator. And God gives them authority and blessing to rule over the fish in the sea, over the livestock and the animals, and he's told them to both be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth and to subdue it, and all is well. So, Genesis 3. Now, I'm guessing the day started off like any other day for Adam and Eve. You know, work in the garden, seeing creation unfold. In fact, you can just imagine it, can't you? Imagine creation being in a perfect state of peace and harmony. You know, you work in the fields knowing that God frequented that area. And there's vibrancy and vigor in every living thing. In fact, everything around you is flourishing. Your life, your relationships, the people in your world, your health, the things that you're called to. You know, you have perfect clarity of mind and peace in all situations and seasons of life. You can walk and talk with God in a very tangible way, very different than how we know it today. There is no fear, no worries. It's a perfect set of circumstances. So, Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then a man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "Yeah, that woman you put here with me, yeah, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done? What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So God goes on, and you know, we hear that he sentenced the serpent in accordance to his actions and the consequences of that. And we go to verse 16. "And to the woman, he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' And to Adam, he said, 'Because you listened to your wife, and you ate fruit from the tree, which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" So we already see here that there's going to be hardship ahead for these guys. Verse 20. "Adam named his wife Eve because she would become mother of all living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them." The verse goes on and tells us that God decides that man can't know good and evil and have access to the tree of life. And so he banishes Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and has the tree of life guarded. Well, oh dear. Oh dear. What a disastrous set of circumstances. But I think the danger is that we can focus on the mistake without looking at what we can learn from Eve's life. You know, the moment of dialogue with her and the serpent, the questioning of what God said, the manipulation, the seduction, the buying into the lie and acting on it. You know, the truth of it is, I think we live that battle every single day of our lives. We have free will just like Eve. We have ability to hear good instruction and to make good choices on some days and then not so good on other days, just like her. You know, the mind, it's a battlefield. Sometimes we can take our thoughts captive, but there are other times where we allow our thoughts to take us captive and we end up making really dumb decisions. Eve messed up. She suffered a consequence. We know, don't we, that it wasn't about the apple. It was about obedience. And I think God, being a good, good father, gave them the instruction for their own good. See, there was a truth and reality that God sought to protect them from. It wasn't about God being a mean old tyrant. No, he gave them choice. I think we can relate to Eve, and there's more to her life than the mistake. I was doing my research on her, and I found a few things attractive about her character in Genesis 4. The first thing I saw was determination. Think about it is, Eve, she still had a calling on her life. She still had a part to play in God's plan for the earth to increase in number, and she didn't let disaster dictate the calling. We know this because evidently the earth did increase in number. I find it interesting that Adam named his wife Eve, which means life giver, because she would become mother of all living. And he actually gave her the name after the fallout, after the drama. That tells me that she still had determination to still pursue the thing that she was purposed for, even though there would be hardship ahead. You know, thing is, she could have dropped out. She still had free will. She could have dropped out. She could have told Adam that she wouldn't live up to her name, but she didn't do that. She chose to play her part in God's intent for humanity in spite of circumstances. I find that pretty attractive about the girl. The other thing I noticed was Eve's humility. I noticed in Genesis 4 that she couldn't have stayed in a place of guilt or shame or anger or frustration or, you know, just whatever would have been going on in her head at the time. She couldn't have done it for long because Genesis 4:1 tells us that it was with the help of the Lord that she was able to give birth to Cain. So we see her press on, pursuing a relationship with her creator after everything that had happened. She knew she couldn't get back what she once had. But I think she was mature enough to work with what she did have and wise enough to seek out relationship with God once again. And I love that. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from this situation. And there's 3 points that we will hopefully get through that might help us in our day to day. And that is to listen well, to choose well, and when it all goes, you know, just a wee bit pear-shaped, to fall well. All right. Point one, listen well. Now, I think listening well is all about discerning between the good voices in your life and the bad voices in your life. We go back to Eve and the serpent, and take a look again at Genesis 3:4. This is where it says, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it," that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So we see here how the serpent actually misconstrues elements of what God has actually said. You know, added in, you know, the odd lie here and there, hoping that Eve wouldn't notice. So what's the serpent told her? He's told her, number one, that she won't die if she eats fruit from the tree. Number two, that she'll be like God if she eats fruit from the tree. And number three, that she'll know the difference between good and evil. Well, no, she will die. Yes, actually, God does say in Genesis 3:22 that man has now become like us. So there is an element of truth in what the serpent is saying here. And three, yes, she will become knowledgeable on good and evil. So what have we got? We've got lie, truth, truth. If you're taking notes today, it's worth remembering that half a truth is still a whole lie. Half a truth is still a whole lie. So be wise not to act on the lie. See, the serpent knows how to play Eve. He knows her weak spots. He knows her vulnerabilities. He knows that Eve will find the fruit attractive, and he uses that as an opportunity to manipulate her. And Eve, you know, she starts off confident. You know, she tells the serpent that she can eat from any tree except for the one in the middle, and she knows the consequence of that. And I don't doubt that Eve knew the voice of God. I do believe she did. But I wonder whether God's word was truly crafted onto her heart. Psalmist David tells us that he had hidden God's word in his heart so that he might not sin against him. Church, I want to encourage us today. Know the word of the Lord. Know it well so that when lies come at you to distract you, to derail you from the plan of God on your life, you can go back, you can come back with truth after truth. Just like Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness, he came back with truth after truth after truth because the word of the Lord was planted on his heart. Sorry, crafted on his heart. The serpent's intention with the lie was to destroy God's plan for humanity, to see Adam and Eve fail and fall and mess up by making and question good instruction. So what about you and me? Now, what are some of the lies that we accept that have the potential to derail us from the plan of God on our lives? One of the things that I so value about church is being able to do life with people who know the word and the voice of the Lord, who are able to help me discern some of that, who would encourage me to seek out truth and wisdom for life, especially in the areas that I'm probably most vulnerable in, just like Eve. You know, it was a time in my life where, you know, pretty young and all when it came to the Christian faith, and, you know, a situation would blow up or there'll be a difficult relationship dynamic to work through, and go around person after person after person wanting to hear the thing that I wanted to hear as opposed to the thing that I needed to hear. You know, logically, the first thing you do is, you know, you'd go to your Christian friends, and, you know, I've got a great bunch of people that I do life with, and, you know, they'd tell me all the right things. You know, they'd pray with me, they'd encourage me to think about forgiveness or think about the road that I was on. You know, a destructive road, given into ego, given into pride, given into anger, given into frustration. You know, and at the time, because it wasn't the thing that I wanted to hear, I'd kind of dismiss what they'd say, and I'd go around the next person and the next person and the next person until I heard the thing that I wanted to hear rather than the thing I needed to hear. And after a while, found that I was just on this destructive road. It wasn't healthy for me or the people that I did life with, and I had to make a fundamental choice to start listening well, to start listening to good instruction, to start listening to wisdom and truth and promise rather than the thing that would feed my ego. I had to choose to listen well. Proverbs 8:33. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Listen well. Okay. Point two. choose well. Thanks, Joy. Power of choice. I think the choices that we make in life will either see us flourish in life or wither. Now, sometimes we can make good choices out of good counsel and that can bear much fruit. And then on other occasions, I think we can make choices that could lead to disaster. We go back to Genesis 3:6, and this is what it says. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Eve chose instant gratification. She went with the thing that seemed attractive at the time, maybe something that would give her the quick fix that she needed or feed her ego. And somewhere in the mix, I think she just lost sight of the goal. Easily done. I think she forgot to consider the ripple effects of her choice. But then I suppose that's the beauty and the tragedy of free will. We could do whatever we like. In fact, Paul gives expression to that to the church in Corinth, and he tells them that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. What that means is we could do whatever we like, but there are some things that could cause us harm. Deuteronomy 30, we see God renew his covenant with the Israelites. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Choose life. I think back to my own life, and if my journey can teach you anything, is that the fruits of obedience will always outweigh the cost of dying to self or feeding your ego or feeding your pride or the anger or whatever the situation is. Oh, I think it would have been over 10 years ago now. I don't remember. I was doing the Alpha course, not yet a Christian, and weird time, you know. It was a real tug on my heart and my spirit at the time that I didn't know but to stay on this course and stay on this track. I remember on one of the days and one of the occasions, had a call from my sister telling me that my other sister was pregnant. And I got to tell you, I completely freaked out. Freaked out because everything I knew up until that moment was that the only acceptable way of having kids was through marriage. Doesn't matter whether it was a healthy marriage or a broken marriage, just had to be through marriage. And everything else came up short. And now I started freaking out about what people would say and what they think about my family and the fact that this wasn't being done the right way. And, I had it all planned out in my head, what I was going to say to my sister on the phone that night. I've got to tell you, it would have been pretty. It would have completely destroyed her. It would have completely destroyed our relationship. The night before, that particular night, before I picked up the phone to her, I met up with a lady, with a lady who brought me to Alpha. And so here I am, just telling Christine, totally gunning for it, what I'm going to say to my sister. And it's going to be like a proper Jeremy Kyle showdown, you know. I remember Christine just sitting there quietly and I think just listening to the Holy Spirit at the time, something that I was just totally not aware of. She just said a few things that I suppose pierced straight through everything. Everything. My fears, pride, issues with, control and perfection and fear and criticism and opposition. Never forget it. Now, she told me that God had an incredible plan, for this child and that he'd be a blessing, that God would use him. And it all starts with the choice of me picking up the phone to my sister and instead telling her that it was going to be all right, that God had a plan for this kid. Even though I was still on this journey, but still not sure. But I was like, there's something about this that is good and right. So that God has a plan for this kid and that I would support her. And this is kind of how I know that there is a God, because I know that in my own strength, I would not have been able to do something like that. But that's exactly what I did. And, you know, the funny thing about that story is my sister was so shocked with my reaction and, you know, just the person that I was at the time with this whole Alpha journey and becoming a Christian. And she just saw this peace over my life. And so she then started on her own discovery of finding Jesus. And so she made a commitment. And then my other sister, who saw the two of us, was like, dude, what's going on with your guy's life? And she saw the peace in our lives. And she too then made a commitment to following Jesus. And then my nephew was dedicated at his church, which is All Nations in Wolverhampton. And in that service, my other sister made a commitment. And then my mum made a commitment at the Outer Court. And so all of that. Could have been so different. Could have been so different. And I see that kid today, my nephew Amar, and he's already a speaker of truth. You know, he's already a blesser. He's already a giver. He's already an encourager, you know, a worshiper. He knows the Lord and he has a glorious future ahead of him, which is awesome. But the choice to choose love instead of fear, peace instead of anxiety. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Choose well. All right, last point. Stay with me. A couple of minutes left. Everybody good?
Yeah?
All right. Okay. For well. Hopefully this will lead us to a time of response. I think falling well is knowing where to fall. Church, fall into grace. Fall into grace. We only have to look at Eve to know that we're either going to mess up or somebody is going to mess up on our behalf. And, you know, we're going to find ourselves in difficult situations, no fault of our own necessarily. Situations beyond us that have the potential to see us fall. I don't know, perhaps life hasn't turned out the way you expected it to and you've been left disappointed. You just need help on the journey. Too often, I think, you know, we can allow the mess of life to dictate what we think about ourselves and also where we're heading in life. I think some of us are falling, but we can choose how we fall. We can fall into further depths of disaster, you know, being influenced by further lies or deception or feelings of guilt or disappointment or just being overwhelmed with the stuff of life. Or we could choose to fall into grace, fall into arms of safety, fall into God's truth and promise for our lives. How we fall is up to us. The help of the Lord in Eve's day, think it looked very different than how it looks today. The fundamental difference is that God knew we needed a rescue plan since this whole mess, the original fallout, but also the mess that we've experienced thereafter. And the rescue plan is Jesus. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect like it was in Eden. In fact, Jesus tells us that we're still going to be confronted with hardships. But he's also told us that we can take heart because he's overcome these things on our behalf. And he's the safety blanket that we can fall into. So think about it is, I don't know your situation. I don't know the ins and outs of your life. I don't know your reality or the challenges ahead of you. I don't know the drama or the upset or the hurt you've got to navigate through. I don't know what's happening with, you know, your marriage or the situation with your kids or your finances or your health or even when it comes to this whole relationship with God or this whole church vibe. But Jesus does. and he cares about the details of your life, and he wants to be involved. So, you know, I just want to give opportunity as we wrap up, you know, for people to just fall into grace, to receive the help of the Lord, to pray for courage and faith, to listen well, to choose well, to have faith to believe that God can work in and through your life, so that through your weakness, his power can be made perfect. So I'm just going to get out of the way. I'm going to ask the prayer team, if they can come up, please. Well, just come to the front, and for anyone who wants prayer. And I just want to encourage you in this moment. You know, prayer is the most powerful and effective weapon we have today as church. So I just want to encourage you to come to the front and press into the things that God has spoken to you about personally in this time. Well, if you want to help navigate through that.